28 minutes before the hour, you're back on the Mike Allen Show here on this Tuesday, November 24th, 2 days away from Thanksgiving. Blessed to be joined on the program. Somebody I'm thankful for is a regular guest for sure, Chelsea Zimmerman, who blogs at reflectionsofaparalytic.com. She's also the editor-in-chief at catholiclane.com, and not only holds forth on bioethical issues, but oftentimes some really profound reflections on the Catholic faith as well. So, Chelsea, thanks for hanging in there with us.
Thank you. I'm also thankful for you, Mike.
Well, I appreciate it. It's a great season here, as you know. We're wrapping up the liturgical year and discovering the riches of our Catholic faith. Of course, you grew up Catholic, but had kind of a deepening of your faith right into adulthood.
Right. Yep. Yeah, a reversion, they call it, I believe. But yeah.
Absolutely. And like I said, you know, not only powerful reflections, but I especially like some of your reflections on suffering and redemptive suffering, because a lot of great riches there in our Catholic understanding, and really helps us thwart this cultural tide that seems to see any sort of suffering as the ultimate enemy that to be avoided at all costs. And that's what can oftentimes lead us into these bioethical minefields.
Right. I mean, suffering of all kinds, suffering like what we're going to be talking about now, suffering infertility, which is a legitimate, you know, suffering. I mean, even what they call circumstantial infertility, people like me who in our 30s haven't found the right person, haven't gotten married, and you know, really would love to have a family and children, and it just hasn't happened for us. And you know, wanting to have children is a good thing, and when you can't, or you know, just circumstances don't allow you to, it is hard sometimes. So I don't ever downplay that, you know. It's a good thing, but there are certain ways of going about doing that, and you know, children aren't a right ultimately. As much as we want them and want to care for them, they're not a right. And so,
well, and that's, you know, that's always the thing that's so frustrating, is there is some virtue at work, some good that people desire, but the key principles of any ethic thinking is that a good end does not justify the means by which we get there.
Right, exactly. And you know, this, it's definitely something to think about during like National Adoption Month, which is in November. And I think what I sent you was to kind of tie this into what we normally talk about with what I do. I recently posted a graphic from the Center for Bioethics and Culture using a study from a few years ago that said that 45% of children were bothered that money was exchanged in order to conceive them. And a friend of mine, she didn't comment on my Facebook page, but on the CBC's Facebook page, she objected to it and was really concerned. She's like, I hope that's not true. You know, concerned that something like that might be harmful to her adopted son if he ever came across it, causing him to feel shame since his parents had to pay money as well. And I certainly understand her concern, especially since her son is still quite young. But and there are some parallels we see. I mean, you know, money is exchanged in both situations, but there is a very major difference between the two. We're talking about third-party reproduction and adoption. And while one is a worthwhile attempt to make the best of a bad situation for an already born or already conceived child in need, the other deliberately contracts the creation of a child to fulfill the wants and needs of the parents. And that's the major difference between the two. Mm. You said...
Yeah. And this is where you have a great phrase that I had not heard mentioned before, this idea of adoptee rights, you know, that the child who either is the result of third-party reproduction, or, you know, we talk sometimes, I know in the adoption communities, about the right of an adoptee to know their, you know, what their biological origin was.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean,
situation with these third-party reproduction situations.
Right. You see, at the same time, they're very much different. A lot of times the children in both situations experience the same kind of thing, specifically wanting to know where they came from. I mean, I see a Facebook post every couple of weeks of somebody holding up a sign saying, you know, my name is so-and-so. I was born in this hospital on this date. I'm looking for my birth mother. Can you help me find them? And those things go viral on Facebook all the time.
Oh, yes, they do. Chelsea, we have somebody calling with a question. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Let me get Shannon on the line. Shannon, welcome into the program. Well, she's not there.
Uh-oh.
So we'll see. Maybe she'll call back. Right. Shannon, call back if you want. If you got a question, 573-4-BRED-4.
Right. But I don't know if I'm just noticing it because of what I've been, you know, researching and doing with third-party reproduction. But, you know, this whole idea of adoptee rights, I mean, there's a big movement for that. And mostly what they're seeking is just equal protection under the law with regards to access to their original birth certificate. And there are a good chunk of states, I think 18 or 19, that currently allow adopted adults to access their original birth certificates. But, you know, there's certain concerns in opposition to that. The concerns mostly being like the right to the privacy of the birth parents, or also to protect adoptive families from unwanted intrusion or blackmail by birth parents. But also, and this is the one that I'm most sympathetic to, I mean, there are concerns that it might have an impact on abortion statistics. And in many of the states that have tried to pass, access, original birth certificate access for adoptees, I think I read that Catholic Charities has been an opponent of these kind of legislations for that very reason. I mean, the concern being that if there is no guarantee that the records will be sealed, mothers will choose abortion over adoption. And that's where you kind of have the actual competing rights of the adoptee, where, yes, the adoptee has the right to know where they came from, but they have to have a right to life first. So it's kind of a fine line to walk, because we definitely want mothers to choose life first. And if it's a choice between sealed records or an abortion, you know, what are we going to do about that? But I think there's hope. I mean, especially for adoptees, I think there's evidence to suggest that, number one, that many birth parents are happy to be found. And if they're not, they have every right to refuse contact. A friend of mine, actually the sister of the friend of mine who was concerned about the statistics for third-party reproduction, her sister recently actually posted a viral Facebook message trying to find her child she put up for adoption 20-some years earlier. She wanted to have contact with her child after all those years, and she found her. And now this child she put up for adoption when she was 16 has a whole new family she never even knew about. It's beautiful what has happened. I mean, these families have come together, and
Well, and here's the thing, you know, I mean, people may be listening to this, or they may hear these sorts of things and think, oh, this is just, again, those meddling Catholics who are so uptight, you know, that are stirring up these things about adoptee rights. These are the concerns being expressed by the actual
people,
you know?
Right.
You're seeing this internal distress that they're experiencing, and this feeling of being deprived of something, and if people will, unfortunately, those voices get suppressed because it doesn't fit with the narrative, but those voices are out there, and not just in a few, among many.
And you know, IVF advocates and third-party reproduction advocates desperately, they want us to believe that biology is irrelevant when it comes to family. But when you look at the popularity of things like Ancestry.com, which invites visitors to, quote, join us on a journey through the story of how you became you? And TLC has a genealogy show, Who Do You Think You Are? Which implies that our very identity is rooted in the people who not only begot us, but those who begot our parents and our grandparents. It's not just the family that chooses you. I mean, there are many, and it's not to say that those bonds aren't real and aren't special and aren't good. Even adoptees will say that, but you know, we all have an intrinsic right and want to know who made us, where we came from. I think the last time I was on, we talked about this speech from Millie Fontana, she's the donor conceived child of lesbian parents. And she said that, you know, growing up and longing to know who her biological father was, wasn't just about fantasizing about having a father, but of putting a face to who she was. You know, she said she no longer wanted to look in the mirror and wonder where did she get her green eyes or some aspects of her personality that neither of her parents in her home had. And when that's opened up, you know, at least it answers some questions for them. You know, and it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, granting birth certificate access doesn't necessarily mean they're going to contact their family. And we have, and as I said, the birth parents have every right to refuse contact. We have anti-harassment laws. You know, you can't force someone to be a part of your life, but, you know, nevertheless, children want to know where they came from. And I, that's what I've been seeing here. And it's caused me to think differently a little bit about some of these issues, especially with adoption. You know, it's, and there's actually some, I was encouraged to see, I don't know any specific numbers, but there's also evidence that suggests that in states that have allowed access, there hasn't necessarily been an increase in abortion or a decrease in adoptions. So I just think it's important to listen to the children, you know, listen to what they're saying and what they want, because they're the results of this. I mean, they have to live with this and, you know, just listen to them and hope that we're doing right by them. Cause in all these situations, we need to be, concerned about the children.
Exactly right. And I appreciate, Chelsea, as always, you bringing this to our attention, because it is a major issue, and our understanding of the human person, the dignity of the person, requires it. And appreciate all your work. I hope you have safe travels to your Thanksgiving destination, and we'll look forward to talking to you during Advent.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, Chelsea. Chelsea Zimmerman, check out her work, reflectionsofaparalytic.com. We'll be back. If you want to get a comment or question in, 573-4BREAD-4. This is the Mike Allen Show.